Okay. So we've been mentioning for the past couple of days that the concept of Odin Biyada Daita Lahachzir, this general idea of the whole issue of Lama Chasam Viz, is essentially there to so that it's a continuous cooking. If it's a continuous cooking, so then we view it as though it's been on the fire ready since from before Shabbos, and as long as it's on the fire from before Shabbos, so therefore it's not Matzik Mevashel. There's no chashash amichata. The whole purpose of Odin Biyada Daitel Hachzir is to make it into a continuous cooking. So the question comes up, what happens if it goes off the fire accidentally? It's no longer on the fire accidentally. It's not Odin Biyada and it's also not Daitel Hachzir, but it was an accident. What does it mean that it's an accident? So Shmir Shabbos discusses a case where it happened that the fire went out. It was on the block, and then the fire went out. So now the question is, could you now put this pot onto a different block? So this is in the Shmir Shabbos, Aleph Chof Zayin. So he says, this is on the top, Kavsa Halava, Yasma Sakadera, Ubal, Chumabuzha Kotorcho, Vodenu Chan Bemixos. He says, ideally, what you should do is that you should put it on another blech, but it should be kedera al gabi kedera. So ideally, you should not put it directly on the blech. So then he says, "Ein lo kedera acheres al gabi eish." This is the next paragraph. Yosem ala eish. He says if you can't put gedera al gabi gedera, so then you should put something that lowers the temperature of the heat so that there's a recognizable, there's a difference during the week. Then he says if you can't put gedera al gabi gedera, so then you should put something that. He says that if you can't do this, if you can't put a kedera al gabi kedera, or it's a flip over a pot and then put it on top of it, so then b'diyeved, what you're allowed to do is you could put it on top of the fire directly, a covered fire. A fire that already has grufa and ketuma, i.e. a blech. B'diyeved, you're allowed to put it onto the blech. So why is it that you can't do this l'chatchila? He doesn't explain. Why does it work b'diyeved? So in the footnote, Ayin Tes, he says the reason why it works b'diyeved is because b'diyeved, we could rely on this run. The run that we always had, he says we don't follow the run l'chatchila, but in such a case where it accidentally went off the fire, so then there's no problem with putting it back on b'diyeved, because we go based on the run. That's what the Shmir Shabbos says. So Shlomo Zalman in the footnote seems to say you could do this even l'chatchila, and he explains, I'll just read this inside, he says v'tamo. He says that the only reason why one would need Daitel Hachzir and Odin Biyada is to make it into continuous cooking. But there's only a break from the cooking if you actively performed a Maisa and took it off. If you actively took it off, so now there's, it looks like there's a break from the cooking, so now we require all the other conditions. But if you didn't actively perform a maisa, it just happened on its own, the fire went out, or if it accidentally fell off the fire, so then we don't require these other conditions. We could still view it as a continuous cooking. We don't require Daitel Hachzir and Odin Biyada. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, it seems that he's mekel that you could really, if the fire goes out, you could really put it directly onto another blech. This could also come up, I would assume that the halacha is also the same, if you put it on the blech, it's hot, you took it from your oven, right before Shabbos, you put it on the blech. Not only the fire was never on the bluff. You were supposed to put the fire on the bluff, and the fire was always off. So from before Shabbos, you just left it on the bluff, and you thought the fire was on. Now and the fire was really off. You forgot to turn the fire on, so then you would also be able to move it onto a blech, which has a fire on. Because you thought that it was cooking, so it's really a continuation from your cooking that you had in the oven, then you put it on the bluff afterwards. From before Shabbos, the fire was off the whole time. You didn't realize it. You could then put it onto another blech, which does have a fire. So this is also the opinion of Rav Moshe. This is Rav Shlomo Zalman and also Rav Moshe in Dalav Ayin Dalav Bishul Lamaches. He was asked a similar question. And in his answer, he says that the only time we're concerned for all these conditions is if you do it b'kavana. But if it's nechma me'elav, if it happens on its own, so then we could be mekal. So the Shmir Shabbos himself, he's machmir on top in Chav Zayin, and also Rabbi Yashiv is also machmir. So we have a machlokas here, whether if something happens accidentally or not, so then do we require these other conditions? So the machlokas seems to be whether it's a question of how do we understand whether it's discontinuous act of cooking. What breaks up the cooking? Is it that we need a specific action? We need a maisa? Or is that, no, the mitzis of it not being on the fire, regardless of how it came off the fire, so then that removes it from us viewing it as a continuous cooking without the other conditions. So according to Rav Yashav and according to the Shmir Shabbos on top, they have both understood it that as long as mitzis it's off the fire, so then it's no longer viewed as a continuous cooking. And if Shlomo Zalman and Rosh argue, and they say that no, the only way that it removes it from it being a continuous cooking is if you actively removed it. But if you didn't actively remove it, so then we would still view it as a continuous cooking. If it happens on its own, so then we would view it as a continuous cooking. This is different, and also the footnote in Shmir Shabbos points this out, this is different than a discussion mentioned by Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger quoted in the in the Bir Halacha, Rishon and Gimel Beis Dir Maschal V'lo Hinicha Agave Karka. So Rabbi Kiva Eger is discussing a different case. He's discussing a case where you're the owner of the house, it's your house, it's your kitchen, and you put the food on the fire, and all of a sudden you have a guest there who takes it off the fire. He took it off the fire. He thought that you needed it for the meal, and he took it off without your knowledge. So Rabbi Kiva Eger over there says, there's a whole separate lumdus to it, he says that it would be usher to put it back on, and we don't apply the principle of ina d'mosur davar shein shalo. He explains because this is not tali b'machshava, this is tali b'maisa. There's a whole separate discussion that ina d'mosur davar shein shalo is only with regards to yisur, which involved the machshava, but not a maisa. He says that this whole Isser is based on a Maisa, it's based on the act of taking it off the fire. So since you perform the act of taking it off the fire, so therefore, it will be Usser. So this Rabbi Kiva Eger is different than Rav Shlomo Zalman, the discussion of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman could agree to Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rav Shlomo Zalman was saying that if it happened accidentally, nobody actually performed any Maisa, it happened on its own, so then it's viewed as a continuous process of Bishul. But if someone actively took it off, so that's a different case. Even though it wasn't you, the owner, didn't take it off, but somebody took it off, it wasn't with your machshava, it wasn't your kavana, but the maisa did take place. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger will say that will suffice to view it as separating within the cooking process. It's viewed as now no longer part of the cooking process. That's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva Eger. And I think the Dirsha mentions that Rav Shach argues on this Rabbi Kiva Eger, and holds that really it would also be mutter, even in such a case where somebody else were to take it off, and then without your knowledge, so then that would be mutter. Why would that be mutter? So then the svar would be that not only a mice alone wouldn't stop the process of viewing it as cooking, it would still be viewed as cooking. You need both the mice and the machshava of the person that put it on the fire. If the machshava of the person that put it on the fire wanted it to remain on the fire and somebody else took it off, so then that's still viewed as a continuous cooking process. It's only when the Baal HaBos wants to take it off and there's a action performed to take it off, so then it stops the whole process, the whole cooking process. That would be a machlokas between Rav Shach and Rav Akiva Eger. Okay, so now, taking a short break from Hachzara, there's just a few issues with the blech to discuss. There's the Mishnah Brura in Reish and Gimel, Chav Gimel and Tzamaches. It's explicit in Chav Gimel and Tzamaches. Mishnah Brura says that if you have a blef, you're allowed to place the food on a place which is not Yad Selezba. Let's say you haven't fulfilled any of the conditions of Hachzara. You didn't fulfill the conditions of Hachzara. Is there any way that you can put the food on the blef to just warm up slightly? Let's say it's a Dover Lach even. So Mishnah Brura says that you can put in a makom she'ein hayad selezbo. Chav Gimel says that avim ein hayad selezbo mutar liten afilu agabov afilu b'shabbos. He says that even if it's not group of tuma, it might be allowed. And he also says the same thing in Tzamaches, that if you put it on the blech in a makom she'ein hayad selezbo, usually with the blech you have only one or two of the stovetops flames on. So the rest of the blech usually is not as hot. So according to this, you'll be able to put it on the rest of the blech, which is not as hot. It won't get up to the lettuce bow. Mishnah Brura says that would be fine. Chazon Ish argues, the Chazon Ish in Lam Zayin Ches Divrei Maaseh Lahinei, towards the end of that, he argues and he says that really you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't be mocha, you shouldn't protest those that do this. But his concern is that no, you're going to end up leading to, if it's the blech doesn't have any divider, you're going to end up moving it to the place which is Makom Sheyad Seletesbo. We're concerned that you're going to end up moving it to Makom Sheyad Seletesbo. Fine. There's a further discussion of, let's say you put it on a Makom which is Yad Seletesbo. From before Shabbos, you put the food which is onto a Makom which is Yad Seletesbo, you put it directly on top of the fire. There's a blech there, and you put it directly on top of the fire. So if you have a lot of food and you want a lot of the food to get hot, and there's a lot of food in the blech, so then it makes sense that every so often you'll just move around the food to different parts of the blech, so that at different points in time, all the food ends up being underneath the fire directly. So there's an issue of, let's say it's right on top of the fire, it's in a makom sheyad seletesbo, so now you move it to a different part of the blech, which is in the yad seletesbo. That's perfectly fine. So you're now allowed to move it back to that original place of makom sheyad seletesbo. Right, originally it was directly on top of the fire. You now moved it to a different area in the blech where it's not Yad Seletesbo, so you're allowed to put it back to the area which is Yad Seletesbo. So without knowing anything, you would say that there would be a problem here. If you hold like the Ramah. Because you need Odin Biado and Daita Lahazir, and you don't have Odin Biado because you moved it to another area, you let go. It's true that you have Daita Lahazir, but you don't have Odin Biado. So are you allowed to move it back to that area where it was originally Makom Sheyad Seletesbo? So the Chazon Ish says, like we were just saying, he's Machmir in Lamed Zayin Yud Divrei Maaseh Sif Dalet. He is Machmir and he says, yeah, if you moved it to a place which is not Yad Seletesbo, you can no longer move it back to on top of the fire, which does happen sometimes where people, they move around the food constantly and therefore it reaches a place which is not Yad Seletesbo, so then they wouldn't be able to put it back on directly onto the fire. And Shlomo Zalman in Aleph Ha'ara Kuf Chaf Hei says that it is allowed. He says that it's allowed because if it's still on a place which is still a source of heat, and even though it's not Yad Seletesbo, it's equivalent to Odin Biyad V'Dayt L'Hafzer. He says there are multiple ways to fulfill this. What is Odin Biyad V'Dayt L'Hafzer accomplishing? It's making it into one continuous cooking process. That's the whole purpose of these other conditions. So to have it near the fire, where it's still getting some sort of heat from the fire, but it's just not Yad Seletesbo, so that accomplishes that as well. We still view it as one continuous cooking process. Okay, so you don't have the other conditions, but those other conditions are just there to let us know that it's one continuous cooking process. You can fulfill that in other ways. As long as it's on a place where it still gets some of the heat of the original fire, even if it's in a makom she'ena Yad Seletesbo, it's still viewed as one continuous cooking process, and then you can put it back on directly onto the fire where it is back onto a place which is it, where it is Makom Sheyad Seletesbo, and there is no Hachzara problem with that. Fine, so those are two issues with regards to the blech itself. Okay, so now we're going to deal with the next sugya for a few minutes about Samach with Shabbos. I'm just going to give, today I'm just going to give an introduction, and then tomorrow we'll get more into it. There's a discussion, the Mishnah in Lama Vav and Beis discusses the Machlokes Beisham and Beis Hillel about whether, well, familiar with the Mishnah, Beisham and Beis Hillel, whether you're allowed to perform Hafzara on Shabbos or not. Machlokes Beisham and Beis Hillel. Even Begrufik Tumma, Beisham says it's Aser. So the Gemara in Lama Chesam Beis says, Machzir and Afilu Beshabbos. Beis Hillel says, Machzir, and you're even allowed to be Master Afilu Beshabbos. So what does Machzir and Afilu Beshabbos mean? So we mentioned in the past that there are three different explanations to Machzir and Afilu Beshabbos. Rashi says, Machzir and Afilu Beshabbos means that you might have thought that you could only perform Achzara from the night before, not the next day. Beshabbos means be Yom Shabbos, on the day of Shabbos, because only the night before, so then we really view it as though you have Das Lahachzir. But by the day, it's not makruch that you have das lahachzir, and maybe it divides between the whole cooking process. So comes the Gemara and tells us machzirin afilu biyom Shabbos, even during the day of Shabbos, not just the night. That was how we understood for Rashi. The Ran tries to say that the Yerushalmi, the famous Ran of the Yerushalmi, he tries to fit this within the Bavli of machzirin afilu b'Shabbos, that the whole concern here is specifically where you took it off from before Shabbos. And machzirin, that you're allowed to even be chozer afilu b'Shabbos, as long as you follow the conditions that the Gemara is about to explain. Machzirin afilu b'Shabbos is talking about where you're dafka doing hachzara b'Shabbos, not netila. Netila happened before Shabbos. The hachzara, even you could even perform hachzara alone on Shabbos, as long as you fulfill the conditions, the rest of the conditions that's found in Lama Chesam Beis. So then there's another opinion, which is Tosos, Shitas of Tosos, Dera Maslow Beis Hillel on Lama Vavim Beis. Also the opinion of the Rush in Gimel Beis that explained that really our Mishnah is not dealing with Shabbos. The Gemara is being Mechadesh that you're allowed to perform Hachzara even on Shabbos. And our Mishnah is not dealing with Shabbos. It's dealing with before Shabbos. It's talking about during the week. Erev Shabbos. There's a Machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel about Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, are you allowed to perform Hachzara or not? So we're going to... The big question is, we're dealing with Erev Shabbos here, we're not dealing with Shabbos. Why would there ever be an Isra Avzara Erev Shabbos? It's not Shabbos, there's nothing to be concerned about. So Tosfos is going to deal with this, and Rush is going to deal with this, exactly why we're concerned on Erev Shabbos. So I'm going to hold that off for tomorrow. But it's the Tosfos Shishanim, already on Lama Vavim Beis, points out that for Rashi, clear that Rashi disagrees with Tosfos and the Rush, because since Rashi had a different read of the Gemara Lama Chesam Beis, Rashi thought that Machzirin B'Shabbos meant Machzirin B'Yom Shabbos, the day of Shabbos as opposed to the night of Shabbos, unlike the Rush and Tosfos who understood Machzirin B'Shabbos on Shabbos as opposed to during the week. Rashi understood it as Machzirin B'Yom Shabbos as opposed to the night before. So Rashi has already a different read, a different understanding of the Gemara Lama Chesam Beis, so therefore there's no reason to assume that Rashi holds that there's an Isra of Hachzara from Erev Shabbos. So right now we have a Machlokes, Tosfos and the Rush against Rashi. Additionally, the Ran on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, on Tesvav Amud Beis, so he also quotes the opinion of Tosfos that says that there's an Isra of Hachzara from Erev Shabbos, but he argues with him. And the Ran says that it's true that there's an Isra of Hachzara from Erev Shabbos, but that's only according to Beis Shammai. The whole Isra of Hachzara, Erev Shabbos, is only according to Beis Shammai. But according to Beis Hillel will allow Hachzara on Erev Shabbos even if there wasn't Grufik Tumah. Beis Hillel requires Grufik Tumah for Hachzara on Shabbos itself. But Erev Shabbos? Erev Shabbos is not Shabbos. You can do whatever you want to Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you can put it back without Grufik Tumah. There's no problem. Why does Beis Shammai hold that it's Aser, even big Grufik Tumah? Because Beis Shammai is Lishitaso. His Lishitasa to the big Machlokes, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel and Yud Zayin Amud Beis. And the Mishnah Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Shitas Beis Shammai, that if there's a malacha that will go into Shabbos, will be performed going into Shabbos, so then we have to already be concerned, Erev Shabbos. That you're going to perform a malacha, you're going to start the process, and then it'll end up taking place on Shabbos, this is the opinion of Beis Shammai, so then we'll already be concerned that you can't even start the process from Erev Shabbos. So this is not exactly the same case as the Mishnah there. The Mishnah there is discussing a case where you are starting the process. You didn't perform a malacha, but you're starting the process Erev Shabbos. The malacha will then take place on Shabbos. That's not what's going on here. Over here is that just an issue about Hachzara on Erev Shabbos. You are doing the act of Hachzara on Erev Shabbos. Nothing's taking place on Shabbos itself. So there are different cases, but I assume that what the Ran is trying to say is that Beis Shammai is more concerned than Beis Hillel about actions which take place from before Shabbos. In terms of actions, Yisurim, which take place, which could lead to Yisurim on Shabbos, so then we'll be more concerned, according to Beis Shammai, about things taking place on Erev Shabbos than Beis Hillel. Because it's not exactly the same case as the Mishnah, because it's not the only case where you perform an action which will then lead to Malacha on Shabbos itself. Here you're doing everything from before Shabbos. But still, Beis Shammai is still going to be concerned for the Hachzara that you're doing from before Shabbos. So why is there a concern here for performing Hachzara before Shabbos? It's not Shabbos yet. There's no reason to be concerned. So I believe the Or Shemayach discussed this. The Or Shemayach that we had earlier, I think he discusses this. And he explains as follows, that it all depends on why Hachzara is Aser. We have the big machlokas, why is Hachzara Aser? So Hachzara Aser because of Shem Yichata, that was the opinion of the Sefer Yashar and the Rush, the Mishnah Berurah quoted the Rush, that said that the whole Isra of Hachzara is because of Shem Yichata. Or is the Isra of Hachzara because of Metzikim of Ashel, that it looks like you're performing Bishol, or Tikazira, that you're going to ultimately perform Bishol, because it's very similar to Bishol. So is it because of Metzikim of Ashel, or is it because of Shem Yichata? So Or Shemayach explains that if you want to say that it's because of Shem Yichata, okay, if it's Shem Yichata, so then it's similar to what we saw in the past in the Chazon Ish, that it's not based on the action that you're doing right now, it's based on the result, on the situation that you're creating, the Totsah. The Totsah of your action is that you now have food which is on the fire, which was taken off the fire. So there's a concern that you're going to end up stirring the coals, because you took it off the fire before Shabbos, you now put it on the fire before Shabbos, but at this point in time, 2 minutes before Shabbos, there's a concern you're going to stir the coals. When are you going to stir the coals? You're going to stir the coals on Shabbos. So by performing Hachzara from before Shabbos, you're ultimately going to stir the coals on Shabbos itself. But if you hold that the whole problem of Hachzara is Metzikim of Ashel, so then there's no concern whatsoever. You perform Metzikim of Ashel on Erev Shabbos, what's there to be worried about? Nothing happens on Shabbos. I could cook on Monday. I could also cook on Friday. There's nothing to be concerned about. So I think that's what Or Shemayach said, and it fits within the various shitas that we had. Who are the ones that are concerned for Hafzara, Samach LaShabbos? The opinion of Tosos and the opinion of the Rush. And those are the opinions, the Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar and the Rush, quoting the Mishnah Berurah, those are the opinions that hold that the reason why Hafzara is Aser is because of Shem Yichata. So therefore they're concerned for Samach LaShabbos. The Ran was the one that said that it's based on Mefzik Mavashel, and Rashi, it was a machlokas, Sachron, exactly how to understand Rashi, but the Sharat Zion at least, understood within Rashi that it's also an idea of Mefzik Mavashel, and so they're of the opinion that there is no Isser of Samach LaShabbos, because they hold that the whole reason for Rav Zara is because of Mefzik Mavashel, there's no problem of performing Mefzik Mavashel on Erev Shabbos. And then I think the Or Shemayach goes on to say that for the Rambam, the Rambam does not mention Samach LaShabbos, Hachzara as being us or Samach LaShabbos, because the Rambam also holds that the whole reason is based on Metzikim of Ashel, just like Rashi and the Ran, who hold that it's based on Metzikim of Ashel, so there's no Isser Kodem Shabbos before Shabbos. So too for the Rambam, he doesn't mention the concept of Samach LaShabbos because he also holds that it's based on Metzikim of Ashel. The Rambam doesn't say Metzikim of Ashel anywhere, but he's just saying from the fact that the Rambam holds that, doesn't mention anything about Samach LaShabbos being Usser, so it must be that the Rambam holds it's based on Metzikim Mashal. Fine. So tomorrow we're going to get into really if you look at Tosas and the Rush, it's good to look at Tosas and Rush, and they explain this Isser from before Shabbos differently. There are nuances and differences between the Tosas and the Rush, which seem to imply that they understand this Gzira from before Shabbos differently. So we're going to get into the differences between the Tosas and the Rush in terms of this Gzira of before Shabbos, and then we'll also get into the Halacha Maisa of this din.